Morning Watch, Crystallization Study of 1 and 2 Samuel, Week 1. The central thought of and the divine trinity, as revealed in 1 and 2 Samuel. Wednesday related verses. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. And they said to him, "You are now old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint now for us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the matter displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." Then Samuel prayed to Jehovah. And Jehovah said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people according to all that they have said to you. For it is not you whom they have rejected, but they have rejected me from being king over them." 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. "And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he will go before my anointed continually." Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of David his father, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. "But of the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom." Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers has been cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their soul life even unto death." Related reading. Although Samuel was God's representative, God did not have any intention to make him a kingdom. Rather, according to the Bible, God determined to raise up a man named David, through whom he intended to build up a kingdom. When God chose Abraham, it was not his intention to gain a single person, or even a group of people who would seek after him. God's intention has been to have a kingdom. The consummation of the revelation in the Bible is a kingdom. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. In the new heaven and new earth with the new Jerusalem, there will be the eternal kingdom of God." Even though Samuel eventually attained the highest position, God still had not reached his goal. As a man who was according to God's heart, Samuel knew that within God's heart there was a desire for a kingdom. God wanted the kingdom to be brought in not through Samuel, but through David. When someone attains a high position, there is always a question as to whether he will allow someone else to come in to match him or to be above him. If you had been Samuel, would you have given any ground for someone to match you or be above you? Samuel was pure and single. He was a Nazarite according to his mother's vow, and was altogether not self-seeking. He never sought to gain anything for himself. He had no heart for anything besides God and God's elect. God loved Israel, and his heart was duplicated in Samuel. Because God's heart was duplicated in Samuel, Samuel did not care for his own interest or gain. At the end, Samuel gained nothing but a tomb to be buried in. Due to the situation at the time, Samuel appointed his sons to be judges, but contrary to Saul, he had no intention to build up a kingdom for them. His sons did not follow in his ways, but went after unjust gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. When the people asked Samuel to appoint a king, he was not offended by anything related to his sons. On the contrary, he was offended by their desire to replace God. Because he had no intention to build up a kingdom for his descendants, Samuel's concern was not for his children, but for God's people. In such a situation, it was easy for God to bring in the kingdom. God used Samuel to anoint first Saul and then David. As we will see when we consider the history concerning Saul, Saul only had a monarchy. The kingdom of God came first under David, when God's throne was established in Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, the Lord Jesus told the Jewish leaders that the kingdom of God would be taken from them. This indicates that the kingdom of God began in the Old Testament. It did not begin with Abraham or with Moses, but with David. Therefore, what we see with David is not any kind of monarchy, but the kingdom of God. While Samuel was under Eli's custody, God taught him in a very fine way, built him up, and established him as his proper priest. As such a priest, Samuel became a judge to judge Israel, a prophet to prophesy for God, and the one to bring forth the kingship. By this kingship, the kingdom of God was established on earth. This is a picture of what our situation should be today. We need to be first a Samuel and then a David, enjoying Christ to such a degree that what we have enjoyed of Christ will become a kingdom, which is the church. According to Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, the church and the kingdom are identical. The kingdom today is the church, and within the church there is the intrinsic essence, the body of Christ.